Hello, welcome to episode 187 of Life Song Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks, along with Phil Ramsey and Blake Schenkel, back in for another week and another study in the book of Hebrews. Hello, gentlemen.
Good to be here, Jim.
How are you?
Doing good.
Good.
How about you?
I'm wonderful.
It's good to see you. No problem.
It's good to be seen.
It is.
I appreciate you.
Hey, listen, I want to welcome just a couple of guests we have here today.
Hey, listen, Life Song has, I mean, we've hit
groupie.
We have got a studio audience.
That's it. We do have a studio audience. No, we want to say they won't be speaking much today or saying anything really, but they're here as kind of a Bible study that I do. It's really some precious people in my life, some brothers and sisters of us that go to church with me, that I'm able to disciple. They're actually... They go on the mission trips with me, and so just really poured into them. They poured into me, and so it's good to have them here just listening to our Bible study, basically, and seeing the behind-the-scenes approach of what we do here. So I want to welcome them and thank them for being here.
It's good to have them.
It is.
I'm a little nervous.
You've never done this in front of people.
Never. Never.
Oh. Well, gentlemen, how's your week been?
Traveling a little bit, which is all I ever do. I think that's the only answer I ever give is traveling really good. But God has been good. I mean, just been in the Word this week. Just so many friends, so many just loved ones, just to be able to interact with and to have a relationship with. Just to have such a wonderful family, I have so much to be thankful for. So it's been really good.
Phil's envious. He has no friends.
I know. Only other than how many friends you got on Facebook? That's it, right?
Two
on Facebook?
Yeah, my wife is one. Oh. But I think she defriended me yesterday.
I don't blame you.
Well, not only we've been in Hebrews, but you know, we all have our different Bible studies throughout the week as well that we study, and you've been in Revelations, and you've been hitting me and Jimmy up very early in the morning with...
Well, actually, I might even have to read some of it before we get off the air today, because it kind of ties in to what we've been studying. But again, I'm drawn to things where people disagree, where brothers and sisters disagree, I'm drawn to, because I think God wants unity. He wants unity not only in the essentials, you know, the gospel, but guess what? In everything. And we can disagree, but let's work towards agreeing and understanding what God said. So anyway, just been dealing with eschatology a lot, and there's a lot to it. Oh, it's so much to it. I mean, it is... It's been a year long, and I don't have it all together yet. I still have some question marks, but some things clicked the other day, and I was about to shout. And I told my wife, I'm trying to think, it was yesterday. We were out working in the yard or somewhere, and I just told her, I said, man, it just clicked. Everything clicked. So I got a piece about it, and... anyway, maybe one day we'll do Revelation, study Revelation.
Gosh, I hope not.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway,
it's good.
It's good.
It is good.
You had a good week, though, Jim?
I have. It's been great. But I'm excited to get back into Hebrews today. Been looking at this next set of verses, and tell you, it's big. Phil kind of touched on it a little bit last week, and you don't want to miss the mountain.
You sure don't.
No.
Now, let's put it this way. You're going to hit a mountain.
That's right.
Which one are you going to hit?
Let's come to
that's
the
true.
Right one.
Yeah, you will hit a mountain. Let's pray, and then let's... Quick review to lead us up to this, and then we'll go from there. I'll pray. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have, that we can come together as the body of Christ and look at your word, your God-breathed word, every bit of it coming from you, and every bit of it good for teaching, for rebuking, for training in righteousness, for exhortation. Lord, there's so much here. Lord, it's an honor just to sit here and eat it. And may we digest it, and may we go out and tell the world what we've learned about you and how awesome and how perfect you are. Lord, I'm praying for the listener today that as we discuss some very good news, but also some very bad news also, that like Jimmy said, there are two mountains that we're going to talk about today. And every person ever existed will end up at one of the two mountains. And I just pray that you open the ears of the people listening today, that they end up on the right mountain, the one that comes down from heaven. Lord, we thank you. May your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us unto all truth, like you promised he would. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
We ended up with Esau. You want to, Blake or Jimmy, y'all want to just kind of sum up Esau? Because we rushed that in the last 2 or 3 minutes, the last verse of last week's study. You don't want to be like Esau. Why not?
Well, Esau sold his birthright, and then he wanted it back. You know, listen, let's go before that, really. What I want to touch on, verse 14 in Hebrews chapter 12, the biggest portion of last week, and we spent some time there, but the thing that really stuck out to me, pursuing peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. You know, and we talked about it in the show. We talked about how the influence that we have, how we're not able to have influence, or how we're not able to make headway with lost people, even believers in certain situations, in certain scenarios, if we're not pursuing peace. And pursuing peace really boils down to, you talked about it, unity. In a sense, even if you're in disagreement, you can pursue peace with people, even in that disagreement, because we're humans. We are the way we're made up, the way we're wired, is to react emotionally. We react out of our emotions. If we were able to react outside of our emotions, and that's a thing that some people have, a trait that some people have, if we were able to do that, I think we'd be a whole lot better. But we're not able to do that. So we react when someone says something to us that we don't necessarily agree with. We get defensive. And no matter what they say, even if they're completely right and I'm 100% wrong, no matter what they say, I'm not going to believe them if they've offended me, if they haven't pursued peace with me. You see what I'm saying? And so that's a big part of last week that really hit home with me.
I agree.
What about Esau? Is it over for Esau? Is it over?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is a point in time when it's going to be too late.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
Esau's, but, he, go ahead.
Well, but Esau, I mean, we can look at this. Was he really looking for repentance, though? I mean, if he was truly looking for repentance, God would have granted it to him. I mean, it says, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. I believe the "it" there is for the blessing. He wanted the blessing rather than the repentance. He didn't want to have to come to repentance. And even if he did, God knows the heart. You know, he knows the heart. Even if he wanted, let's just say he wanted the blessing, you know, wanted that bag, but his motive was wrong, I believe, you know. So he did not seek it with true repentance. And so God didn't grant it to him.
If he had, then he would have got it. Now, I think the Bible also teaches, and we've read about in Hebrews, there can be a time where it's too late.
Listen, Romans talks about that. He talks about in chapter 1, verse 18, and he talks about, for God's wrath, you know, is upon people. And it is a present tense wrath that is coming. And it is an abandonment wrath that we see. There's two types of wrath that God has. There's an abandonment wrath, and there is a final wrath that God has. The final wrath is upon the judgment day, where he will throw those into hell, those who do not believe. But there's an abandonment wrath where God... And Romans talks about, Paul talks about this to the Romans. He's setting a scene up in there, and we probably go to it a little bit later, but he's saying, hey, if you continue to deny the truth, if you continue to come to church and then just deny me for who I am, or if you just go down this other way where I've shown you the way, but you're going to go the other way, I'm going to abandon you. I'm done with you. I'm finished with you. No longer will I be, will you soil my name, first of all, but no longer will you be a part of me, and I'm going to leave you. I'm going to abandon you. And that's the worst type of wrath, because there's no coming back from it.
Right.
Paul speaks of that in chapter 1, verse 18.
Well, since you quoted Romans, let me read one more, and then we'll jump off in it real deep. Okay. And I was reading this morning. I sent that to you on a text, Romans 2:5. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And it's going to be revealed according to Revelation at the end. And so I heard a pastor say the other day, and this is going to be kind of harsh. Okay, you ready? He said, and really it's true. It's true. If you're not going to come to Christ, if you made up your mind that you're not going to come to Christ, the best thing that can happen to you is to die. Because if you live day after day after day after day rejecting God, Romans 2 says his wrath is being built up to being released on the day of judgment.
You fall under greater condemnation.
Yeah. So if you're not going to come to Christ, really, I mean, for your sake, I don't want you to die because I never give up on you. But it says, I don't know.
No.
That's kind of harsh, but it's true.
It is the truth. And that's the message that I feel like we don't get today. That is contrary to the message of smile, Jesus loves you, or God loves you, right? That we hear so often, right? Does he love us? Absolutely. But he loves those who are in him, mm-hmm. right? If you're not in him, you're an enemy of God. And the Bible says he hates you. Mm. And that's hard to understand, but it's the truth. It's what the Bible says. It's not Blake making it up or anything. But like you said, there's the announcement of this smoldering wrath that God has for us. It's not a superficial message. This is the truth, and it's going to happen. Count it. It's going to happen, and we're going to get into it. God, there's no partiality with God. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, there's no partiality. Look here, he wants to know, and we're going to get to it, what mountain are you on? Are you on Mount Sinai? Are you on Mount Zion? Are you a believer or are you an unbeliever?
Why, look, I'm going to ask you a question, then we got to read, okay?
This is good, though.
Why do we need to be saved?
That's it.
Why? Tell me why we need to be saved. From what?
We need to be saved from God.
That's it. Amen.
Isn't that odd? Mm. We need to be saved by God.
From God. Yeah, absolutely.
And whatever mountain you come to is going to determine your eternal destiny.
And the only thing that can save us is the thing that God provides, right? But what he requires, he provides, right? And he does that through Jesus Christ, through his Son, through God incarnate, right? So yes, and it is the only way to heaven, the only door, the only way of salvation is Jesus Christ.
Well, we've been talking a lot about mountains.
Yeah.
Our listeners are like, what in the world? What's going on with these mountains? Anyway, Jimmy, tell us about these mountains. Okay,
well, let's read Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 18. For you have not come to a mountain that may be touched, into a blazing fire, into darkness and gloom and whirlwind, into the blast of a trumpet and the sounds of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further words should be spoken to them. For they cannot bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel.
All right. First, go back to the first verse you read. For you, who is you? For you have not come to a mountain.
Well, that would be the Christian.
Yeah. We're now addressing believers. It says, for you not come to a mountain that may be touched. So now we're talking about a physical mountain, right? What mountain are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about where the mountain, we're talking about in literal terms, we're talking about Mount Sinai, right, where the law was handed down to Moses, mm-hmm. right?
So if you were in that crowd today, is that day when Moses was up there receiving the law and you were able to observe what was going on. What's some of the things you would be, is this something that was exciting or was this something that was actually fearful?
Well, this was a fearful scene right here. This was exciting, but it was exciting at first, but then God comes in manifest. We're going to see these different types of lightning, trumpet sounding, all these fearful noises, smoke rising. This is a fearful scene. This is something, look here, we read on that Moses was even scared, mm-hmm. right? So this is a fearful scene here on top of Mount Sinai that we see. And we're going, do we think we ought to read that? Do we want to read that count? Or do we want to go back to Exodus chapter 19?
What if you had a pet dog and the dog went over the mountain? What would you have to do to your dog?
Well, first of all, you can't sacrifice it because anything that touched the mountain would
be stoned.
That's it. Or dead. Or they had a spirit, right? They would have had to kill it. You couldn't go over there and literally touch it because you would die. Mm-hmm. Almost like a poison dart frog, right? You go over there and you touch the dart. You know, you get the poison off the dart frog and you touch the dart itself. You would die as well if you got that poison upon you. The same way, if the dog or whatever would have come out on top of the mountain, You couldn't go over there and handle the dog. You would die as well, almost like the Ark of the Covenant with Uzziah. But they would spear it. They'd have to spear it or, like Jimmy said, stone it. So this is how holy. This just shows God's holiness. And Jimmy, I don't know if you want to say anything here, but Exodus chapter 19, I don't want to read it all, the whole account, but just this is the account of Moses upon Sinai where God delivers the law to Moses. And so it started in 19, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land and on Egypt. On that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped out in front of the mountain. Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." I'm going to stop right there. This is God giving the law. And what is he saying? If you obey,
it's conditional.
It is conditional. If you obey, I will bless you. If you don't, you will surely die, or there will be punishment, right? And we see that ultimately they didn't even keep it very long, this law, mm-hmm. right? What did they do? They had built a calf, a bronze calf just below it. So they committed within the first few days. They committed the first two felonies against the law, mm-hmm. right? Of making a graven image and worshiping other gods. But I'm going to move on. So he says, so in verse 7, "So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all the words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered again and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak with you.'" So God says, I'm going to manifest myself. I'm going to be in the cloud. This is his Shekinah glory, right, that we've seen. Verse 10, "The Lord also said to Moses, 'Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai on the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying,'" and here's our verse, "'Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain.'" So we see that. We see Moses go down and we tell these people, but God has laid it out here upon Mount Sinai that you are not to come up here, that you will surely die. And I'm convinced that this is showing his holiness. Mm-hmm. And this is where we're at today, right? We're at the two mountains, right? Mm-hmm. If you live by the law, you're surely going to be put to death. Mount Zion, which we're going to get to, mm-hmm. you will live. Verse 16, "So it came about on that third day when it was morning that there was thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." So here's what we see, right? And Jimmy, this is what we see in Hebrews, is this basically the writer really telling this story.
So why did God send all that thunder and lightning.
I'm convinced that to show his power and his might.
God was showing his power. They didn't see God. He was veiled in a cloud. Because if they had seen God, they would have died. They would have died.
Yeah. This is a terrifying scene. Enough to where... This is so terrifying, again, that Moses was fearful. This is the man who has seen God in a cloud, who has God has delivered them out of Egypt. He has shown them, he's seen himself in a fire. Listen, this is nothing new to Moses. But when God's ultimate glory, his holiness comes down upon this mountain, it comes down, and this is a symbol, right, is what we see here. And he gives the law. This shows how holy God is, and Moses trembles in fear, right? We have trumpets that are blaring, right? These are trumpets, and if we see that at the end of time in Revelations, that final trump will sound, right? We see lightning, we see thunder, a fearful sight. Jimmy, a fearful sight here. Yeah. This is nothing. What's the repercussion if you break that commandment or you break it? Death. Death. There's no way to come to God at Mount Zion, or excuse me, at Mount Sinai. There's no way to come to God. He's just laying down the law. He's saying, "You're not coming to me on this mountain right here." So what does he do? We know that. Listen, first of all, God's going to judge every man upon two bases. It's either upon the gospel or it's the law. Two bases: the gospel or the law. Which camp are you in? Which mountain are you in? Is it the law? Are you on Mount Sinai or are you on Mount Zion, the gospel? Do you believe in Jesus? Do you put your faith in him? Or do you place your faith in doing good deeds, doing good things, right?
Well, if you come to Sinai, where the law was given, that's what you'll be judged by at the end. So here's the deal. God's law, have you broken God's law? Have you been perfect your whole life and never one time sinned? Well, then you're going to die. And you're either going to come to God at the end. You will be not at the very end. If you never come to the mountain that we're going to talk about in a minute, the one from heaven, you will be judged by the law. And there's no one that ever lived except one that obeyed the law perfectly. So you have a sure death if you come to that mountain, and you ought to be scared to death. You ought to be scared to death.
Yeah. When you compare the two mountains, it's crazy. God says from Mount Zion, he says, "Draw near to me and you'll live." But the opposite side of the equation of Mount Sinai, he said, "Stay away from me or you'll die." That's crazy. That's crazy.
Listen, on this mountain, I don't want to get off Mount Sinai right now, because this shows, I mean, you're exactly right. This shows God's ultimate holiness right here. It shows that you who think you've got it right today, you think I've done these goods, I've tithed enough, and I'm going to put it into modern day application. Right, first of all, the old covenant was a fearful thing. It was fearful. You know why it was so fearful? Well, first of all, it was fearful. We can see that because he's given this exhortation here. He's been given all these exhortations to why? To these people who are on the fence. It's been so fearful. They're so caught up in the old Judaism way that, man, if I don't sacrifice this lamb or something, I'm going to die. You know, they're going back to it. Hey, guys, it's new. I've done away with the first to establish the second. Okay? It's so fearful. And so... we see here is this is ultimate God's holiness. So in modern day application, listen, you can't be good enough. You can't even come to the mountain and God's going to strike you dead. And not physically right now, but ultimately, you come to the mountain upon your own good deeds, upon your own good holiness, you think? He says, no, you're dead. You're ultimately dead. You're done. I am that holy. This right here shows me how holy God is, how fearful we ought to be when it comes to God. This right here is what brings us to our knees as repentant sinners, right? This is the first start of us, our lives changing around. We've got to come to this state before we ever come to Christ, I believe.
Well, and that's what I was going to correct myself. I'm sitting here laying it out like, here's a decision. Hey, y'all, we're on the road, and I see a mountain on the left and a mountain on the right. Which mountain am I coming to? Let me tell you something. You're at the mountain. You're under the law. You're born under the law.
Yeah.
So you're already, without doing anything, you were born with the responsibility and requirement of keeping God's law. You are by birth at Mount Sinai. You have to come from that mountain. You got to recognize there that you will always fall short in what's required to be right at that mountain. If you don't ever do that, if you don't ever recognize that, then you'll never get to the next mountain. Mm-hmm. You'll be judged by the law. So my mistake. You're at the mountain. You're at Mount Sinai. Yeah. You didn't come to it. You're there.
That's right.
You need to leave it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Because you're going to die there if you don't.
Yes.
Look, Moses was he says, I am full of fear and trembling, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And here we got a lot of things coming up right here. And to myriads of angels. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who were enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the, this is huge, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. I wonder who those are. We'll discuss that. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. That's a long sentence. Which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Let's go back up here. Man, we're coming to a different mountain here. This mountain's not a earthly mountain. This mountain comes down from heaven. This mountain is a Mount Zion, and to the city of a living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And I like this, and to myriads of angels. And I was, before we started recording, I was illustrating to Blake, when we come, we're going to walk in, and guess what? The party is going. I'm just telling you, the angels are worshiping God, and we walk in and are able not to worship angels. We know that John in Revelation, he made that. We probably made a mistake a couple of times. You don't worship angels. We are coming in to a celebration, to a party where there's already praise and worship, and we're going to join with these untold numbers of angels.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Zion is, or heaven. This is a. This is like a festival. This is a celebration.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Heaven's not a funeral. It's going to be more like a festival. So when we get to Zion, we're gonna, like you said, we're gonna join together in this big experience of worship. Let's back up. When you've come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, into the myriads of angels. Mount Zion was the hill where the temple was built.
That's right.
That's what it was. So there alone, God was seen, he was heard, he was revealed, he was known. So that's the only place where men could approach God on the mercy seat through a priest by the blood of an animal sacrifice. But now, today, we believers are the temple of God. Christ is our priest. He's our mercy seat and our sacrifice. So we are free. We have the enjoyment of free access to God. We are free to approach God in Christ. And so we have the free access to God. We enjoy this perpetual presence of God in our lives. And so we're perfectly accepted by him as well. So you and I, believing on the Lord Jesus, possess the privilege of this heavenly citizenship. That's good stuff.
That is
good stuff.
Right. And I'm going to come back on that for just a second, but I want to read a Psalms real quick and remind me to come back on that heavenly privilege. Zion, again, was where God dwelt. Right. You said at the temple. And look here in Psalms 132, it says this: for the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation, for his dwelling place. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell. Here will I dwell. Look here. Now, you can't come crawling to God up Mount Sinai, but you can come crawling to God up through Mount Zion.
Hmm.
And that's how we should come, is come crawling. Hmm. We've got nothing to offer. We'll come crawling. Now, you said that's his heavenly place. That's the heavenly place, right?
Listen,
we have a heavenly citizenship right now. Right. As believers, it's now. It's something that we possess. It's not something that we possess in the future. This is something that happens as you become, when you come into a believer of Christ, when you're
well, we talked about it earlier in Hebrews, we're passing through right now. This is our temporary dwelling place right now. See, our citizenship's in heaven, right? So it's like we're on vacation for the most part. You see what I'm saying?
It's not a very fun vacation.
Traveling through another country. And when we do that, when we stop, we enjoy the sights and the sounds and the food and all that stuff. But our purpose is to return home after the trip is over with, right? Well, our citizenship is in heaven. We're going through this temporary dwelling place, but our home that we will return to is heaven.
Absolutely.
So that was good. So you see, the earthly Zion, it was a picture of God's grace, right? A picture of God's grace. We see that, right? And so men can bring their sacrifices to Zion, offer them to God, and God would forgive them upon the basis of their faith, as exemplified in their offerings, right? So that's what we see. And look here. Ye are come to Mount Zion, present and perfect. You are come to Mount Zion. We're already there. It's a, like Jimmy said, it's a spiritual heavenly Zion that we're speaking of. So, but going further, Phil read, unless Jimmy, if you have anything else to read on that, he says, you've come to the city of the living God. So when you come to Mount Zion, there's, like you said, there's several things here that he lays out that we possess, right? So the first thing is look here, you come to the city of what? A dead God? No, you come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. All right, that's the first thing we see here. We come to that, right? We have that heavenly Jerusalem, that perfect place. And Jimmy said, we're just passing through earth. We're not citizenships here. We're just ambassadors, right, until God calls us home. And then, like he says, and to myriads of angels, and to the general assembly, right? Myriads of angels, general assembly. What this comes to is the picture of is innumerable angels are worshiping God. We're coming into that worship service. John actually gives us a little bit. We see that in Revelations. John gives us a little bit of that picture of what that worship service looks like, the perfect, the most excellent worship service.
Well, the city, what happens in the city? Think about that. At the very end of Revelation, the heavenly Jerusalem comes down. And the word here, city, when you think of city, what do you think about? Blake lives out in the country. What happens in the city?
Everything. Business.
Yeah. Well, there's people. There's relationships. There's life. There's movement. Guess what? That's what heaven's going to be like.
Well, yeah. The city, in this sense, the city of God. This city that you're talking about, not a collection of buildings. It's a collection of people.
Well, this city comes down. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he has been preparing this city, this heavenly place, forever. But here, I love this. You know where we're going to live? In the house with God. Mm. This is another Bible study. But he was veiled. He was veiled on Mount Sinai. In Revelation, we will be with God. We're going to see. Now, I can't explain all of that. But we will be. I mean, our position is holy now. And we have our citizenship's in heaven, but guess what? We're going to live with God. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go, and maybe if we ever get to study Revelation, we can talk about it. We will see God. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to get off in Revelation. Yeah. But I'm just saying, man, is that not going to be awesome?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean,
praise
the way God. John described it there in Revelation is he said it was when the new Jerusalem came down, it was, he described it like it was the beauty of like a bride that was adorned for her husband. That's how he described it.
I don't know about y'all, but that excites me. Mm. Man, that excites me. Let's keep moving on. Man, we got this city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. We have a general assembly. We have myriads of angels. Well, now, what's after that?
Firstborn.
Firstborn, at that time, would have meant that you get the inheritance.
Right.
Right? So we get the inheritance. What's he saying there? Okay, he's saying, and the church of the firstborn. So you are a part of that as a believer. You're a part of that inheritance.
Well, and so when we speak physically, the firstborn obviously had benefits that the other children didn't have. But in God's family, spiritually, when we're speaking, all sons are firstborn sons.
That's right.
Our names, if you're a born-again believer, were written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world began.
Speaking of the Lamb's Book of Life, your name's going to be written in a book.
Actually, it's my name's already written in the book.
That's right.
We think.
Well,
no, I know my name's there. I don't know about y'all. Phil is probably erased.
But you,
God wrote yours in pencil.
But the opposite of firstborn would be, and your book name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, be there will be another book that God reads from as well on the Day of Judgment. Let's just pray that our names are not found in that book.
What's that book about, by the way?
Well, that book is...
It's all your works.
All your works. Last deed.
Everything you've ever done in your life is written. Now, here's the deal. He opens the book, and the standard of judgment will be the law. And everywhere where you did not obey God perfectly, it's written down. Okay?
Yeah.
Guess what? You're going to be judged against that. That's a lot of sinning. I mean, that's a lot of sinning.
It is.
And every, you know why it's written? It's written. Just think about that. Think about that. Every sin you've ever committed against a holy God is written, and you will be judged for that sin. You know why? Because God is holy. He can't let sin go unpunished.
That's right.
Did you gossip today? Sin. Did you overeat? Sin. Did you
lust after a woman?
Sin.
Did you put something before God? Sin.
Guess what? It's got to be paid for.
That's it.
Because God is holy.
That's it. Has to be. And it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Count it. It's coming. So, firstborn, name written, inheritance. You're the heir. And so he says, who are enrolled in heaven, right? Enrolled. Jimmy, that goes right to what you're saying, enrolled in heaven. I like that. You're enrolled in a book, right? We're enrolled to heaven. And to God. So then he says, the judge of all. And to God, the judge of all. Phil, you'd been in Revelations this past week, and what is it that Jesus is sitting upon in the end times? Or what is he sitting upon now?
He's on the throne.
He's on the throne. The judge is upon the throne. Everything flows to the throne. Everything flows from the throne, down upon it, everything from the throne. He is the judge of all, right? And what better judge? Is he a crooked judge? No. He is the perfect judge. He is the righteous judge.
He would be crooked if he let sin go unpunished. He would be crooked. And he can't do that. That's why... the cross is so beautiful.
Yes.
It's so beautiful.
You know, listen, we get to actually enter into the presence of God. What is he saying? He says, and to God, the judge of all. That's what we're enrolled in heaven to come to God, the judge of all. We get to come to the throne of God, not to be judged by the law anymore. We're judged by what Jesus did for us, right? He sees Christ. So look here, this is a terrifying thing, first of all, to the Jew, to the one reading this, right? What did they do? They couldn't even come into the Holy of Holies.
They wouldn't even say God's name.
That's scary. And now he's saying, you can come to the judge. What? I mean, this is serious. This is amazing, first of all. We finally get to see God's presence. We finally get to see him.
This is why the Jew struggles.
Yeah,
they can't even say his name. They were scared to death to say his name. You know, it's of course, you know what happened at the cross. You know, you couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Now the veil opens up, and the Jews, like, if a Jew was standing there that day and that veil opened up, and if he was staring at the Holy of Holies, he would take out and run, scared to death.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Just imagine.
They said, run, and Jesus said, come.
Mm.
You see, the cross is a stumbling block for Jews. They can't handle it. They can't handle
it.
So that's why, again, we're dealing with Hebrews here. A lot of these people are dealing with Judaism, and some of these things that they've been they've dealt with their whole lives. They've got to come from that. Come from law, come to Christ. Come from law, go to grace.
Right. Come from Mount Sinai, let's go to Mount Zion.
And you have to do that.
Yeah.
Or you will remain at the mountain and die.
So then he moves on to the fifth point right here. And he says, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. To the spirits of the righteous made perfect. What's that mean, gentlemen?
Well, and y'all can correct me.
I will.
Okay, thank you. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob.
Yeah.
The folks, the Old Testament saints, never were perfect. They believed, and when they believed, it was kind of their case righteousness, right? But they never could be made perfect. Why? Because the cross never happened. And so I believe that's in reference to them.
I agree. That's an amazing thought. Check this out. We're going to be on the same ball field as old Abraham, as Isaac, as Jacob, as David. I mean, we're there. That's what he's saying. We're going to be, oh my goodness, what a great thought that is. These are the guys that we've been looking up to. We've been reading out since I was 2 years old. And you mean to say I'm going to be in their company? And what are they going to be doing? Worshiping? Hmm. What am I going to be doing? Worshiping? Amazing.
Perfectly.
Hmm. So we'll keep going. We're going to come here to the sixth point here, I believe, if you've been keeping tally. Sixth here, he says, and to Jesus. So you've come to Mount Sinai, and then you come to Jesus, the mediator of a what? New covenant. I mean, basically, that sums up Hebrews right there, to a new covenant. He's a mediator of a new covenant. I mean, this almost goes without saying, but look, there's no more sacrificing of bulls or goats or lambs. There's no more of that. Jesus has done it. He's the one that's mediating upon our behalf, because he's the only one that can mediate upon our behalf.
That's better than Moses on Mount Sinai. You know, absolutely. Moses was the mediator, along with there were angels there also. But now we have another mediator, Jesus, of a better covenant also.
Moving on to verse 24, and like we just said, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, look here, the last point, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Well, what Abel did, I mean, he brought...
It was good.
It was good. That's what I was going to get at. It was good. However, but this is better. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, did the blood of Abel provide forgiveness?
Yeah, no.
Did the blood of Abel provide justification, sanctification, glorification? Did it provide any kind of life? No.
What about atonement for sin? No. The only thing that can atone for our sins is the blood of Christ.
That's right.
The only thing that can wipe away the blackness of sin, the only thing, the tarnish of sin, Jim, that just covers us as wretched, vile people, the only thing that can do it is by the blood of the one and only Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else. You're not coming to Christ upon your own merits. You're not coming to God on your own merits. If you do, you'll wind up Mount Sinai. You're there. You're staying there. You come to Mount Zion because of the blood of Christ, what he's done, the atonement for sin, and it is better. It's sprinkled blood, which speaks better than the blood of Abel.
Fellas, let me read this, and then let's kind of summarize what we talked about today. I'm going to fast forward a little bit to Revelation chapter 21 and really think about what I'm about to say. This, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city. There we go. You hear that? I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself, this is what we're talking about earlier, y'all, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God, this is good news, y'all, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Question, are you thirsty? You thirsty?
Mm-hmm.
You can come and drink.
Yeah.
You can come and drink. Verse 7, He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Two kinds of people. Well, what kind of people are in heaven? Thirsty and overcomers. What has your faith done? Your faith has overcome the world. Okay? So two descriptions of people who are in heaven. Thirsty folks. Do you want God? Do you recognize your need for a Savior? And overcome. What overcomes? Our faith. Okay? We've been talking about faith. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving, we're back at the other mountain, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, is that correct? And murderers and whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Today we talked about two mountains, a mountain of law and a mountain of grace. The Bible says we are all born under the law. Jesus came to what? Redeem those who were under the law. Jesus himself was born under the law. What did he do?
He did it perfectly.
He followed the law.
How many people done that?
None of them.
Okay, you're back at the mountain. That's where you are.
Right.
You got to do what Jesus did.
And that's exactly right. So what are you? That's where we start our lives out. Is at that mountain, at Mount Sinai. So do we continue to try to obey all these rules and regulations? Are we continuing to try to follow the law? Or have we moved on to Mount Zion where the grace is better? The grace is greater than any sin, any law we haven't kept, anything that we have fallen short of. If you think religion is about keeping rules and regulations, then you're at the wrong mountain, right? Don't miss the mountain. Like I said before, it's Mount Zion. So Jesus, what mountain is he at?
He is Mount Zion.
That's right. That's right. So how do you know what mountain you're at? How can they know what mountain they're at?
Repent of your sins and place your faith in Christ. Repent and believe is what Jesus said.
Recognize you have violated God's law.
Holy law.
We've said it 1,000 times. Let's say it again. Two ways to heaven. Be perfect like Jesus.
Yep. Ain't happening.
Or recognize you fall short of that. Cry out for mercy. God, save me. I can't do it. Guess what? You're at the feet. You're at Mount Zion. Bible promises he'll save you.
Hmm.
What else? You got any word from our studio audience here? They're over here on the couch with their Bibles.
A stern warning.
Okay.
A stern warning today. Now, this is what the scripture is. Again, your choice here. Make the choice. Are you going to stay at Mount Sinai? Because you're already there. Or do we move on to Mount Zion, right? I mean, this is such a great analogy here, but it's so wonderful truth. We have been warned by the writer here, and if we stay at Mount Zion, at Mount Sinai, the wrath of God will pour upon us, as Phil talked about.
You know, it's crazy, Phil. As we've studied through Hebrews, he's talking to what Jewish Christians who are being enticed to go back into this Judaism, right? They are following those, or some of them have followed those who have gone out and left, everything that they've ever known, everything that they've ever been taught prior to this point. And it's crazy how he's talking about the two different mountains here, and he's trying to emphasize the point that y'all have moved on from Sinai to Zion. Stop trying to go back.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. They're trying to go back. And he's emphasizing the point that, like Jesus talked about, you're now under grace, and those who go back to the law are accursed.
And if I say, if you go back to the law, you never came to grace.
Well, that's true. That's why you're cursed.
But we're talking about going back to the law as a means of salvation, though, because we were currently up under the law, and we were free. We were enslaved to not. We couldn't do the law. Right? There's no way. Your deeds were like filthy rags.
Well, that's the point. And what you're saying is exactly what he's saying is you have come off that mountain. You've come over to Mount Zion now. You've come over to grace. Stop trying to follow all these laws now. You don't have to. You're over here under grace. Stop putting yourself back under this.
Right.
Yeah,
but you're also free, and what I guess I'm getting at is, and I don't want to take you wrong. I know what you're talking about because there was laws out there. There were so many laws that the Jew was under, right? However, we're looking at God's moral law. As a believer, you are free to now do the law correctly, right? As a believer, we're to walk in that path of obedience, right? We are to now we can do those good deeds now that we are the chains of sin are gone, mm-hmm. right? We are free to now not sin. We have grace, but we don't want to wait too much of grace as well. Grace is there, but we also have to follow. In order to show that we're believers, right? In order to show that we're followers of Christ, now we're free to do the law, mm-hmm. right? Doesn't mean that we're saved. Doesn't mean that we're not going to stumble, but we're free to do the law. It's what Paul talks about in Romans chapter 2, that you're free to do the law now. Does it make sense? I'm not, again, not putting any salvation upon that, but now works without deeds is dead, right? So today we've hammered home these two mountains. And today, as you're listening, and if you find yourself at the foot of Mount Sinai, think about your life. Think about how, as we've talked about, as we put into perspective, is you're not good enough to come to God. From birth, you've been destined for hell. And the wrath of God is going to pour upon you. Death is the ultimate, is what's going to happen at Mount Sinai. So think about that today. And you say, man, I don't want to stay here at Mount Sinai. So how do I move over to Mount Zion, right? How do I move over to Mount Zion? Paul says it in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for what? It is the power of God for salvation to who? To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed to faith faith to faith. The righteousness, where's the righteousness? Where do we find that? How do we find this today? How do we come to the Mount Zion? It's through faith in Christ. It's through the gospel today. And the gospel is this. Simply is this. You're a sinner. You're destined for hell. You need a Savior to come to God. And that was accomplished upon the cross with Jesus' righteousness. As He walked this perfect earth, this earth perfectly, He was righteous in doing it. He died upon the cross to take your sin debt. And He rose 3 days later. Check this out. He defeated death in doing that. So there was three things accomplished. He was righteous, right? He perfectly fulfilled the law. He died. He took your sin debt, and He rose and defeated death, right? So that's what it is. Place your faith in it. Repent. Repent is the big thing. Understand that you're a sinner. It's not that Jesus just loves you. Yeah, He loves you. But first of all, you got to understand that you got to come crawling to Him and say, God, I am a sinner. I am so wretched and vile that I deserve nothing, but I trust in You. I trust that what You did upon the cross is enough to save me. There's not an ounce of good works that I can do. Place your faith in Christ today. Place your faith in Christ today and find yourself. Look here, not in the future at Mount Zion, but right now. You can be at Mount Zion taking in all these pleasures.
So how did you get at Mount Sinai? Birth.
Yes.
How do you get on Mount Zion? You have to be born again.
Amen.
You get on the mountains by birth. Mm-hmm. Born once, die twice. Born twice, only die once.
That's it.
So that's repent good. Today. Trust the Lord. Go to livesongradio.com, and you can listen to the previous broadcast on Hebrews and other books.
Yeah.
And be sure and tell a friend about the show. next week. We are on 93.5 FM right here in Tipton County, and it goes all out to how many other places, Jim?
Six counties here. Then we're in Jackson, and we're also in Andrews, North Carolina. So show's growing. God has given increase. So he's been faithful to us for sure.
Let's bow our heads and prayer today. Father God, we humbly come before you, Father, and we just thank you so much for all that you've blessed us with. God, we just thank you for this word today. I thank you for these men today as they have just helped me out so much to understand this word. And I thank you for their ministries that they have. Father, I thank you for this ministry. Lord, help us just to understand this word. May we take it and may we digest it upon it, Father. Just sit here and camp upon it, Lord, and just see what it is you'd have for us in this word, Father, so that we can take it into this dark world and spread it, Father. Lord, I just pray for those today, God, that are at Mount Sinai still, Lord, that are just there in their sins, Father, and have yet to come to the grace that is you, Father. Lord, I pray for their souls. I pray that your Holy Spirit opens their hearts, opens their eyes, unveils the grace that is you, Father, and they just believe, they repent of their sins, Father, and they come to you and they believe. Lord, thank you so much for the love of Jesus, for the blood of Jesus, Father, that atones for our sins. We just thank you for everything you've done in our lives. Father, the discipline, Lord, and just the love and the blessings. It's through Jesus I pray. Amen.
The marketplace is empty. No more traffic in the streets. All the builder's tools are silent. No more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the courtrooms. No debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the King comes through the gate.
The King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see.
Those from